This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. 2 hours down, 2 hours to go. Hopefully, we will have some positives to take away from the Kings, but I don't know how that would be possible. And if you want to be a part of the conversation, 916-339-1140. Nate Littlefield doing his thing behind the glass. We asked the question, what is your price for one of your favorite team's championship? You can get this amount of money or your favorite team wins a championship. We have Chris Watkins coming in at 200K for the Kings. I think he could be convinced at 100K.
I could probably get
100K. It's right in front of you, dude.
Yeah.
And what about like Nate? Boston fans? What they're like a million, like,
what about Yankee fans?
Yeah, they they're like, we'll just take the money. Whatever money you want to give us. $10? Okay.
The 530 earlier on the text line said $10,000, and I thought it was a typo. And they responded saying, yes, $10,000. So $10,000, maybe that's your number. What's your number? The 916 says, give me the number. Those teams can run it back next year and try again. It makes sense.
Hey, I feel it, man. Yeah. Holidays just pass, you know, right now, 50K, money is the motive, you know.
50K, you can go on a nice vacation.
For sure.
Okay. It could be a down payment. It's definitely a down payment somewhere.
I hear people who say, you know, they've lost my entire life. I'll gladly get paid to watch them still not win. I definitely understand that. But
yeah. So, and at this point,
I'm trying to throw a parade, man.
That's at this point,
there's a parade in my city.
Hey, it's going to be. And we'll get to Ja, by the way, nicely done. We will talk about Ja Morant as well. But that number, that price tag might be going up if the Kings continue to lose to teams that they shouldn't. So this is what we're going to do. We have a segment on the show called Beamin' or Dreamin'.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to get to it right now. I'm dreaming. Okay. And if you're just now listening, thank you for listening. If you've been rocking with us, thank you for rocking with us. Beamin' means you think the Kings could eclipse what they did last season and get to the second round or just a deep run in the playoffs. If you are dreaming, you means that you don't, at this moment in time, you don't think they could. And I'm dreaming. You don't get to lose 3 out of 4 with the third being to the DeAndre Ayton, Shaedon Sharpless Blazers and get the benefit of the doubt to think that you are going to do anything in the playoffs. You just don't get that. Not from me.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
So we do this segment once every 10 games or so. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll feel differently.
Right.
But this go around, and we had felt so good about the last couple games, the run that they went on. And really, Chris, what we need to talk about now is this was a test. We kept talking about this run as a midterm.
Yeah.
We can give grades if we want.
It's in the C range at best.
At best. Yeah. It really depends on how much you believe in the Suns.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's hard because now you got to include the Blazers.
Right.
Right? Because now you've just gone, that's a D. That's a D.
It's not great. Yeah.
That's a D.
We're also at a low point right now. I think, you know.
Second low point of the season.
Yeah. Just as fans, you know, you're coming off worst loss of the season. You're not feeling good. So you're not going to give them, you think C is the highest you can give them right
from
now?
From this specific stretch, okay. Like the last week is
you
more
lost
so what
to
we're
the
about.
You got your doors blown off by the Celtics
yeah.
with no Tatum or Horford. Okay, uh-huh. You beat the Suns. They're a mess, and we'll talk about Kevin Durant
right.
coming to Sacramento.
Yep,
we'll talk about it later
washed.
In the show.
All right, some would say
maybe,
some
but
say.
You won't trade him or not.
No. Trading for Herter and Barnes, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That
play
works
GM
out.
Again.
I guess.
Chris is
going to
be GM again. Then after that, you have the Timberwolves without Karl Anthony Towns. You lose that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you lose to the Blazers, who are missing their two guys.
Yeah.
And they're tanking. They're actively trying to lose. So I got to give you a D.
I think that's fair. I think, every teacher kind of has their own gradings. You know, some mm-hmm. teachers will give Fs where others will give Ds and all that stuff. I'm spiritually not disagreeing with you at all.
Yeah.
I would probably put it at like a C minus, and I kind of guess I'm maybe even being favorable to the Suns there after I did pretty much trash them all last week. I think that if we're, like we said last week, if we're doing this, like this stretch of games was – a bit of a proving ground, if you will. I don't think that they proved anything except for that they're not of the level of those other two teams that we thought are proven to be at that level in the Timberwolves and the Celtics. And that's fine. Those are the two best teams in each conference. So it's okay to not be at that level. But to me, to just kind of show in both of those games that I just don't think at any point you're really up to the task. That's where the level of concern comes. And that's where, for this beaming or dreaming, like I'm just going to have to look at it more so in the sense of how many teams do I even believe in a four game series the Kings would or should feel positive about. I mean, the Timberwolves, I would say no, they're the best defensive team. And, you know, I think the matchup the other day is a lot more likely how a playoff series would go. The Nuggets, I'm not taking the Kings over the Nuggets right now. And that's, you could argue, maybe just respect to the Nuggets. OKC, even though the Kings have handled them pretty well, I would say that's the most even series so far for the Kings. Clippers, no chance. We've already seen how that plays out. Dallas, maybe at the 5 seed. That's an intriguing matchup. New Orleans, we've seen that story. Houston, we think we've seen that story. I think I would give the Kings the best shot there. And then you have Lakers and Warriors, which, you know, who knows? That kind of depends how those two teams are going. So I would say I feel super confident about maybe one and a half of those teams so far in the top 10 of the Western Conference. So, yeah, I think I got to go dreaming right now. And like Nate said, though, this is at a low point in the season. So it'd be tough to go beaming, but I'm fully believing at this point that unless they do make that big move, like you said, it's just tough to kind of see how this team takes another leap. I'm not saying that they can't be, you know, round into shape and maybe find some shooting consistency, but I still think that at the end of the day, this team does have some flaws that just kind of limit their ceiling.
Yeah, and I'm not saying to go get Kevin Durant, but you do need somebody. You talk about Zach LaVine or somebody, when the offense isn't going, they just, besides De'Aaron Fox and depending on the matchup, Sabonis, you just don't have a bucket getter.
Yeah.
There are not enough bags on the Kings roster. There are not enough Jansports, okay? There's just not enough. You look at, okay, Fox obviously has a bag. Keegan Murray is starting to get one, but you don't.
Yeah.
You don't, okay? Sabonis depends on the matchup. Harrison Barnes, no bag. It's got to come within the offense. Kevin Huerter, no bag. It's got to come within the offense. Malik Monk, sure. I would say Malik Monk definitely has one. So that's three guys on your roster, like more like two and a half, depending on Sabonis and the makeup. Trey Lyles can't do anything offensively besides shoot an open three.
Yeah.
He can't do anything offensively.
He's back to pump faking now, too. So
you cannot
really
do anything offensively. Keon Ellis, okay, we're not expecting him to do anything. Okay, but you keep playing him.
Yeah.
So unless he's, you know, he's hitting some threes. You got Sasha, he's just there to hit threes. Chris Duarte, I don't really know what he's there to do to look like he's trying really hard defensively. JaVale, he's just going to be a lob threat and probably turn the ball over a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
Kessler Edwards, he doesn't play. Alex Len, he's just getting back. We don't know what he's going to do. And Davion Mitchell is literally glued to the bench. And he's JTA has no bag either. So I just don't know if we're just going to sit here and wait for them to shoot well behind three ball land. And if they don't, they're not doing anything.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's why they have to start playing defense, too, because you can win a couple games in which you're not shooting well if you just play defense and you limit teams to not, you know, shooting. What, the Celtics shot 50% from the field and from three. You have Portland yesterday give a season high in points with 130. If you just, and you know what's crazy in that Celtics game, too? The Kings shot 45% from three themselves. They actually played good enough offense to win that game. At some point here, you have to commit to the defensive end. I mean, how much defense were we talking at the start of the year? In the offseason, it's all Mike Brown talked about. Defense and physicality. And now they've just slipped right back into the defense that they were last year, and you're seeing the same results that you would get last year where you just have random games where you're just trying to outscore the other team. And guess what? These guys are NBA players too. Anthony Simons can put up 40 the same way De'Aaron can on a given night. They've got shooters. They've got scorers. And, I mean, if you want to play a foot race, sometimes you might get beat. And that's why you have to play defense to just try and level out those games and make sure that Portland doesn't start feeling like they're one of the best shooting teams in the NBA all of a sudden. You got to get those guys out of their rhythm because the likelihood of them just snapping into it is pretty much zero. I mean, if you have Portland shoot under 50% for the first half, I don't think that they just all of a sudden catch fire in the second half and go crazy. You got to try and stunt them getting into a rhythm early in that game, and the Kings just refuse to play any defense.
The Kings have dropped to 22nd in defensive rating.
Disgusting.
They have dropped that. I think at highest, did they get to 15?
I think they were 16 or 17 as high as they were. Yeah, I don't know.
Is where they need to be.
Yep.
And now they're starting to drop, and that's going to happen when you lose to the Blazers without DeAndre Ayton or Shaedon Sharpe. Got to get to a break. From the 530 on the text line, can the Kings be a winning team if they shoot less threes? I don't think so.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. Because, again, what does that look
yeah,
like?
Yeah, we just don't
know. Who's going to be your bucket getter?
Yeah.
Or bucket getters? You have two.
Yeah. I mean, if they start shooting less threes, then they have to play defense. Then it's right. Like it's not even – they almost – yeah, I mean, you can almost argue they take so many threes right now to try and make up for the amount of points that they leave out there. I don't know. I mean, it's less threes, maybe less than 40, but I don't think this team's ever going to take less than 35 threes a game as currently constructed.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, we will talk about the guard opposite of De'Aaron Fox, Kevin Huerter. Is there an upgrade on the roster or is it off? Is it time to dust off the old trade machine? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m., the bad boys of the midday. Discussing the Kings, everyone can get this work. I said, Chris, you want to do a blame pie? Chris basically said, no, I don't, because everyone has some of this blame.
Yeah.
And we are going to start with one and only Kevin Huerter. And not just Kevin Huerter, the player, but also the position of Kevin Huerter and how the Kings can get more production from him, if that's possible, or is it time to look elsewhere?
Yeah.
What say you?
Well, so Fox is a part of this blame pie then? You said everyone is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, right. For sure.
Yes.
No one's blameless.
Whether it's on the court or off the court, something. You lose to this team, and you lose your last three out of four, and you're getting your doors blown up. That's the crazy thing about the Blazers game. It wasn't back and forth.
No.
It wasn't.
No.
It was very similar to the Timberwolves game, honestly.
It really was. No, I mean, the shout out the Blazers. They did a great job of just consistently putting on the buckets. But, I mean, they were on it from Jump Street, really. The Kings had their biggest lead with 10 minutes to go in the first quarter. And pretty much from then, it was the Blazers' game. I mean, they really handled the Kings. It was, you know, I think the Blazers just looked like the better team last night. Like it's not acceptable to have that be a fact, but I do think the Blazers just played the better basketball game yesterday, which is definitely on the Kings. I mean, the Kings definitely take some blame pie in that. I don't know. I mean, Kevin Huerter is I don't know what to do at this point. I mean, when you look at the last 10 games, 7 points per game, 2 rebounds, 2.6 rebounds, 2.2 assists. He's shooting 38% from the field, 28% from three in the last 10 games. There's a lot wrong with that. I mean, first off, Kevin Huerter is obviously on this team to shoot the ball and to knock down those shots, and you're not always going to be able to shoot it at 40% from three. Of course, you're going to have peaks and valleys, but to shoot 28% when that's pretty much the only thing that you're in there to do is terrible. Like that's not doing your job at the bare minimum, and then for you to not be hitting shots but not contributing in other places, to me, that's where the conversation can definitely be brought up of, okay, Davion gets this hook, and we don't see any minutes from Davion Mitchell.
That's what I'm saying.
Where is that same energy? Because Kevin Huerter isn't giving you anything, and, you know, we've talked about it. Kevin hasn't played. It's not like Mike Brown is shoehorning him out there. He's been playing under 20 minutes when he's not playing well, but – man, it's like you gotta be able to rebound, to get assists. Can you dive on a floor here or there if there's a loose ball? Of course, his defense is always going to be a bit of a liability. But, you know, again, if you're not hitting shots, you better increase your effort on the defensive end. You better be fighting through screens. You better be fouling more.
I think he's trying, but it's not enough.
That's indicative of the player that it is.
He had one foul last night.
Yeah, I think as a player, you need to be able to provide more. And no one can be a one-trick pony. I think that you see that anybody who only brings one thing to the table can easily be replaced. I mean, if you want to, again, bring back up Davion Mitchell, like, again, I would just say share the same smoke. If Kevin's only in there to knock down shots and he's not knocking down shots, well, you could say Davion's only in there to play good on-ball defense, and if he's not doing that, he doesn't provide much worth. I just don't see how the conversation or the energy is different. Not saying from the Kings fan side of things. I think Kings fans have been very consistent. I would say from Mike Brown's side, how can you continue to just roll this guy out there and say, we believe it's gonna turn around eventually? Because at this point, you know, yes, the Kings do have a good record, but I would definitely argue that it could start costing you games here if you don't get contributions from anybody.
I don't feel good about. I know they don't play until Friday. I also don't think the Kings
back in Atlanta on Friday
in Atlanta.
Kevin Herter will be Kevon.
Maybe that'll be the game to get him going.
Yeah.
I also feel like. The Kings don't play very well after days rest. They almost
sure.
This is where we're getting to.
Let me see.
They're teams with length that they can't handle, okay? When they have a couple days off, they lay an egg. When it's a back-to-back, they lay an egg. So you need to play specific teams and only have about a day off. That's when the Kings play their best basketball.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Kings on 0 days rest are 0-4. Kings on 2 days one day rest, funny enough, 11-5.
See?
2 days rest, they are 3-3. 3+ days rest, they're actually 3-0. But 2 days being 3-3 is pretty strange.
Was that last night too?
Last night would have counted. Oh,
it had to have been.
Yeah.
Had to have been, because it wasn't three, because they lost.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, it's been a weird season. It's been a season full of just weird numbers and weird things, like you said. I mean, there's apparently, you can't play back-to-backs. You also can't play teams with length, and you have to be able to knock down shots on that day, or else you're not going to look like the team that you've looked like all season long or when you're at your best. It's really frustrating, and I mean, I do think a big part of the Kings' up and downs in general has been the massive swings in 3-point shooting percentages. It's not like they're getting, okay, we're shooting 37% on most nights, anywhere from, you know, 39 to 40 to 35 to 34. Some nights are better than others. No, it feels like it's either they're knocking down 48% of their threes, right, or they're knocking down 28% of their threes, and there's no in between. And that's definitely a symptom of Kevin Herter, who, again, at least Keegan has the excuse of they're asking a lot more of him offensively to put the ball on the floor, defensively, and you can maybe understand why he might not have the same legs he had last year to shoot it. By the way, Keegan's still back up towards 40% from three. What is Kevin Herter's excuse at this point besides just general inconsistency? I don't know. It's not like he's being asked to do more than what he has last year.
No,
it's really just, if anything, he's got more opportunities than last year because Keegan's being asked to do so much.
I don't see a difference between Kevin Herter and multiple guys that I'm looking at on the bench. Sasha Vezenkov could come in for Kevin Herter right now. We see on the text line, got to get to a break, from the 5-3-0. This is from Johnny P. I say start JTA over Barnes and Monk over Herter. Well, we know how Coach Mike Brown feels about Malik Monk. We don't think that he will ever come off the bench. That's just from the horse's mouth.
Yeah.
He does not want Malik Monk off the bench.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's like almost like a Thabo Sefolosha in the starting lineup, where it's not even about him being one of the five best players. It's more just, okay, what does he provide?
You're talking about
grouping?
Monk?
I'm saying if you throw JTA into the starting lineup
JTA
with Malik Monk.
Yeah, because JTA, and I, you know, saw JTA up close and personal in the Bay Area with the Warriors. Similar, I think Harrison.
It's a garbage pail guy, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think he's better defensively, and honestly, he may be able to get a
I think
corner
energy.
Three for
energy
you.
Is what I would be looking for first and foremost with him.
But oddly enough, I mean, offensively, I think Harrison Barnes is better.
Yeah.
You're not
sure.
going to get – if you haven't watched a lot of JTA and you're thinking that he's going to bring more offensively,
right.
from a skill set perspective, that's not his bag.
Yeah.
That's not his bag. But defense and effort, and he can hit you a corner three every now and then. Yeah. He was in the dunk contest a couple years ago. He can do that for you.
For sure.
But he is not – I would not call him an upgrade to Harrison Barnes.
I'd say he's like a stretched out Kessler Edwards.
Yes. Yeah. I would put him in that category. But changes, do they need to be made? Got to get to a break. Yeah. We will continue to break down the Sacramento Kings and the future of this lineup. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Nate Littlefield doing a great job behind the glass, producing a heck of a show as we've had a couple days off. Nate, we didn't ask you how your holiday went.
I didn't have a couple days off.
I didn't ask that. I said, how did your holiday go?
I mean, the Niners got crushed. Sucked.
Did that ruin your Christmas?
Christmas, not a high bar. Whatever, dude. Just okay. Sucked. I had more fun like a few days before. My birthday's right before Christmas. And I got to get a day off and go out of town with my friends, and that was awesome.
Well, that's good.
There we go.
It was honestly one of the greatest weekends.
Good. So. Glad to hear it, Nate. And glad to hear from Casey on the hotline, the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. All guests and callers join us from that. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop, 916-339-1140. Casey, what you got for us?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
So, to me, looking at the Kings and you guys talking about how Mike Brown's just adamant that he won't put Monk in the starting lineup, I don't really understand that because – I understand he brings a spark off the bench, but when your team's struggling as bad as you are, you'd think you'd be open and willing to try anything. I mean, who knows if you put Monk in the starting lineup and you win 15 games in a row? You just don't know until you try it. So be just so adamant that you're not going to do it is concerning when Herter is obviously struggling like he's never struggled before. It might help him to come off the bench, have less pressure. And, you know, to me, it really goes back to not even the playoffs last year, but goes back to the three-point contest last year when Herter put up like 4 out of 30. It seems like that's when it started to just fall. He fell off the face of the earth on his shooting percentage. So, I mean, something's got to be done. And I just don't agree with him saying that there's no way he's going to bring Monk off the bench. I think at this point you have to try everything.
No, thanks for the call, Casey. Great stuff. That's a great point. And I think, Chris, you've brought it up before, comparing it to the home run derby. I don't know if we explicitly talked about the three-point contest with Kevin Herter and that being where this all started. But, yeah, it could be a thing. Something is off with Kevin Herter. He's getting open looks. He took 5 threes last night, so he's getting shots up, right? He was 1 for 5 from three-ball land. But you said 28%. I mean, that is just – that's awful.
Yeah.
His last 10 games, he's shooting 28% from three.
It's been really, really bad. And I think, you know, to his point there, I think, you know, I think it is time maybe for Mike Brown to kind of put, I don't want to, whatever, if you want to say his pride aside or whatever, I do think it's maybe time to reconsider Malik Monk entering that starting lineup, because I do think that, A, Kevin has played poorly enough and Malik has played well enough to justify such a move. But also, you know, when you think about the future of this team, it is – you know, it is trade season. We talk a lot about trades, and Kevin Herter sure does come up a lot. And, you know, the big move for the Kings this coming offseason is going to be to bring back Malik Monk. And so if you're factoring in what the future of this team looks like and the fact that it does make a lot of sense to kind of maybe start to make that transition now, maybe you do look to enter Malik into the starting lineup and kind of start to usher in what might be the next phase of what this Kings team looks like. And that could very well be Malik Monk into the starting lineup. And it's been something that tons of people have been calling for. And it's starting to almost make too much sense now. And I think I still do agree with Mike Brown that Malik clearly brings a pop off the bench that I think we definitely saw how bad it looked in, what was it, the Minnesota game where they didn't have Malik. There just wasn't any extra punch that ever came. And I think Malik's a huge part of that. But I do think that you might need to find that with someone else or figure out, you know, you could still stagger his minutes to kind of be in the same spots, but just in a starting role as well. So I think it might be time to kind of look to make that move. And I did do the research here to find Kevin Huerter's post All-Star game shooting last year. Mm-hmm. I would say that the narrative that is the home run derby narrative, if you will, that the 3-point shootout ruined Kevin's shot. It's unfortunately just not true. I do like the thought of it being a thing, but Huerter from February 23rd on last year, shot 42.8% on just under 7 attempts from three. So while it does sound nice to say, because Kevin did have a historically terrible 3-point shootout, it's just unfortunately not true. He did, of course, struggle in the playoffs.
However. Well, that's what I'm saying. And you know, whether it's a 3-point contest or the playoffs, there's been so much said about Sabonis in the playoffs.
Yeah.
What about the lights being a little bit too bright for Kayvon?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, he was horrible in that playoffs. Like, there's no way of going around it. Like, the Kings needed one of Kevin Huerter, Harrison Barnes, or Keegan Murray to step up in the first couple games of that playoff series. I mean, they still managed to get two wins with those guys struggling, but I still contest that if you got some sort of normalcy out of the Kings shooting in those playoff games, to me, the Kings win in 5 or 6 games easy in that series. And the fact that they didn't get one of those three guys to get going until Keegan got going in game 4, to me, it's a big reason why they didn't end up winning the series. They just didn't look like the team that they were for the majority of the regular season. And that was really showcased most evidently in Kevin Huerter's stats going from, let's see here, during the regular season, Kevin was 15 points per game, shot 40% from three on 6.8 attempts. You look at his playoff numbers against the Warriors, he shot 20% on 5.6 attempts, only averaged 9 points a game. I mean, that's like a completely different player, pretty much, that the Kings got in the postseason. And I mean, Kevin, again, if he's not shooting well, he's just really not contributing much to what the team's trying to do to succeed.
No, he's not a facilitator. He's not a defender. I mean, he can give you a couple rebounds sometimes, but
even the shots he's taking, he's not creating.
No.
It's all off screens. It's no handles. No, you know, he's not driving the lane much anymore either. Like, it's pretty much all three diet right now.
Yeah. 916-339-1140. If you want to be part of the conversation, call line, text line, or on the SAC chat, our YouTube chat. This is from the 530. When will we see JTA and Duarte play more than 30 seconds? I think there's potential. Let's give them a chance, in all caps. I'm with you on JTA getting more time, and they don't say starting lineup. I don't really know what Duarte is there to do. I don't see, in my opinion, from what I've seen, I don't see how Duarte gets a chance before Davion. I don't get that.
I think it's just height. Like, I do think that's the only reason I could think, because to me, Chris Duarte this season has been the ultimate theoretical player, where he's theoretically a 3-and-D guy. He theoretically plays really good physical defense and theoretically will knock down 37% plus of his threes. Those have all been in theory and not in practice this season. Yes, you could see how in some world there's defensive physicality that looks like it could be a really good defender, but he fouls almost more than anybody else on the team when he's on for his brief stretches of time. And shooting wise, if I'm not mistaken, we thought he was bad in Indiana last year. If I'm not mistaken, he is shooting even worse this year than he was last year. So I agree. I mean, it's not like he's playing well or he's having, you know, spurts of moments in which you feel like, oh, maybe there's a little something there. To me, I mean, I think the problem is all these guys haven't shown really much of anything, and I think it is getting to the point where I wouldn't be upset at seeing Davion Mitchell get another shot. I think he's had enough time to kind of sit on the bench and really think about, okay, if I go out there, I'm really going to give it my every, not that he wasn't before, but it's a different kind of energy when you're going out there and you're trying to prove, no, I belong. And I still think Davion's got a little bit of something left in him.
Yeah. And I don't know, we're seeing on the text line from the 209 to rewatch. You haven't been watching games if you don't know what Duarte does. Oh, we watch. We watch. I mean, yeah. Okay, the last two games specifically. Duarte had a he's been in the starting lineup. Duarte has had plenty of chances here.
He has had opportunities.
Okay, yeah. So is he on a heater? Should he play more because he's playing better? Sure, but let's not act like Duarte is the reason. And if he had been playing, he's had plenty of opportunities.
He sure has.
Davion got thrown on the bench and you never saw him again. And Chris Duarte has gotten played when, like you said, Malik has been out, Keegan's been out. Duarte has been that guy. So we've seen plenty of Duarte, all right? Plenty of him. And if the argument is, oh, he's playing a little bit better these next two games, let's play him more, sure. But let's not act like Duarte is some surprise when we've watched him all season long. We had conversations about him possibly being in the starting lineup to start the season, and they fell off because he wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm looking at his plus-minus numbers, his entire season. He's got two games where he scored in double figures.
One was the game he started, I'm sure.
Yes, both of which he played 25-plus minutes. He scored 10 points in one of the Houston losses in 25 minutes. He scored 13 in the Dallas win. He played 32 minutes. But I'm looking at his plus-minuses. The moments in which he's on the floor are the Kings winning those minutes. In 9 games out of 26 that he's played this year, he has a positive plus-minus. And again, to the texter's point, if he's only playing in tiny spurts of minutes, the Kings better be winning those minutes if he's playing so well and being so impactful. So if in... what is that? That would be in 17 of those games, pretty much. He's been a negative in his minutes out there. I just don't think that there's been anything to say, oh, yeah, Chris Duarte absolutely for sure needs to be out there. The Kings are missing out on something. I think we've seen what Chris Duarte is going to look like in this system, and I don't think it's horrible. I think he's not being benefited by making shots, but I also think it's a big enough sample size to say, well, I mean, we just haven't seen it. He's played 26 games so far for this team this year. And I can't really think of, even in those two double-figure scoring outputs, I can't really remember much of Chris Duarte making a really big impact or saying, wow, this guy really changed the trajectory of this game.
I'd rather see if Davion still got that dog in him, and I'd rather see more of Sasha.
Yeah,
that's because at least you know what you're going to get from them. I still don't know what we're supposed to be getting from Chris Duarte. He's supposed to be a shooter. Okay, he's supposed to be a 3-and-D guy, basically. And I will admit, on this team, you need all the defense you can get. You have Duarte, but you also have to control how much you're going to get of him because he fouls so much.
Fouls a lot.
So you could he play more? Sure. How much that would change the trajectory?
I'm looking at his per 36 right now, which is, of course, like if they extend your stats to if you were to play a 36-minute game, what would it look like? Chris Duarte right now, his per 36 for fouls, 5.6. So he's pretty much fouling out if you were to be playing 36 minutes a game.
He's fouling out pound for
pound, which is significantly higher. His previous career high was last year, 2.6 per 36 minutes.
I think he's just trying to show, hey, this is what I can bring, and he's getting a little bit too handsy. So part of that is, hey, I'm overdoing it because I'm trying to show that I could get more time. Nate's giving me that look. We got to get to a break. When we get back, we're going around the NBA. Kevin Durant coming to Sacramento, Ja Morant with the questionable celebration, and Steve Kerr complaining about the refs. Give me a break. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Having a conversation about the Kings and their starting lineup.
Should they keep it as is? Should they make some moves? Is the problem off the court and not on the court? And Chris, you had a great thought when it comes to Malik Monk. If this is your future, and you said, hey, maybe there's a world where they sign Malik and he's still the sixth man. But if your plan is to start him and extend him and put him in the starting lineup, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's kind of like
next season, I'm saying.
Yeah, no, it's a little bit like the situations that NFL teams kind of find themselves with their backup quarterbacks or their young quarterbacks, where they'll be like, you know, not that the Kings are at the end of the season point where it's like, ah, might as well, but it is kind of a similar logic in the sense of, you know, if this is kind of the direction we plan on going anyway, and there's, you know, like the Broncos, you could argue, took the opportunity to say, you know, we kind of know Russell Wilson isn't going to be our quarterback next year. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off. And you could argue the Kings should maybe be in the similar situation with Kevin Huerter, where we know it doesn't seem like the trajectory this guy is going right now, he's going to be here next year. And our plan is to extend Malik Monk for 3-4 years in the future. Just start now. Let's see what it looks like. Let's see also what flaws are potentially with that lineup, because something tells me it's not going to be a perfect fit. Malik needs the ball in his hands more than Kevin does, so there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment there. I don't know. I think that there's definitely some value in just kind of figuring that out now and seeing what it looks like, because who knows? Meg Brown might also be right, and we might put Malik in the starting lineup, and it might blow everything up, might ruin Malik's confidence coming off the bench, and it might throw the starting lineup out of a loop. And then we learn that, turns out, again, Mike Brown was right, and maybe he should come off the bench. But I think that that's still a valuable lesson to learn sooner rather than later. So, I just think if the future plan is already get Malik more minutes or potentially into the starting lineup, now seems like a really good time to do it, as you're already kind of sputtering a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit, right? You can go to Atlanta and have this little trip and come back and get back on track. We know this is the soft part of the schedule.
Yeah.
So fine, you dropped one to the Blazers, but you got to get back on track and you got to do it quickly. 916-339-1140 on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Doug wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Doug? Styles and Watkins.
Gentlemen, Sacktown Sports. How are you?
We're good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to go back a few years, and I think that many of the situations that we're in right now are an after effect of things that happened 5, 7, 10 years ago. So if you go back and you look at who did we draft when we had all those years that we're going, hey, we're a lottery team. Well, what did you get for it? What kind of player did you get? Okay. Are they a two-way player? Can they play offense and defense? And I'm coming up with a big center of a donut, which is nothing. Mm-hmm. And those are the people that we've gone in and leave the brain trust through the Vladi years. And now with Monty stuff, now Monty's got, you know, he didn't draft Fox, but he did get Keegan Murray and stuff. But if you keep looking, it's the players are almost identical. Oh, he plays some great defense, but I don't know what I'm going to get on offense. And so what you've shifted your offense to do is what? We got to outscore everybody because we can't stop anybody. And when days are like last night where you couldn't hit the ocean if you're standing on a beach, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. And so that's all I have. I just think that there's a better way we could do this. And there's many ways. There's not just a way. There's many ways to do this and stuff. And maybe a trade is something that's going to happen. Monk, I like him with the second group. That's just me. Because the ball is needed by a lot of people to touch it. And he's one of those guys. So I'd rather have it where he can get more touches by being with that second group. That's all I have. Have a great show. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Doug. Thanks for the call. Yeah. And that right there, how Doug ended the call about Malik Monk and what he does in that second unit, that's exactly how Coach Mike Brown feels.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
The question is, who is your best lineup? Mm-hmm. And can you afford – that's the thing. Can you afford to do that? When Kevin Huerter, before he hurt his finger and he was on that heater – this looked a lot better.
Yes, absolutely.
Because you could afford to do it. I just don't know if you can anymore.
Right. No, I mean, it's a tough ask. I mean, you know, and also a lot of this does, like you said, kind of lie on Kevin Huerter's shoulders, because if he's making his shots, I don't think this is even – I think we can overlook the other stuff, right? Like, we can overlook the fact Kev's not an elite defender by any stretch, or, you know, he's not attacking the rim. If his shots are going down at a reasonable level, if he's hitting 2 to 3 threes a game, regardless of percentage, I don't know if we're even bringing this up, but I think it's the fact that, yeah, I mean, he's just ice cold, and when you're getting nothing, it's just really tough to try and keep banging your head against that. Well, I mean, how many times we've now had to force you, Allen Stiles, to not take Kevin Huerter in our dog of the game.
Yes, I will refuse.
And I can imagine Mike Brown's in a similar situation where he's just like, this thing has to, at some point,
right,
it's going to flip around and it's going to go well. But when it keeps not going well, at some point, you gotta just maybe, again, swallow some pride and say, I can't, help me help. I'm trying to help you out. You need to help me help you out. And Kevin's just not getting him anything. And I think, you know, I do think if this thing continues through this easy patch of the schedule, and yeah, maybe they drop a game to Atlanta, maybe they drop a game to Memphis, I really think at that point, you're just going to have to look and say, look, this thing does need to be shaken up, because we've seen the clear flaws in this roster. And we have to maybe at least look different, whether that be whatever, playing JTA more, playing Duarte more, throwing Davion Mitchell into the lineup. To me, if the Kings don't figure this out on this easy patch of game, or easier patch of games here, then I do think it might be time to kind of reapproach what you think, or how you think this team should approach games. And it can't just be we're going to fling 40 threes per game. That number might need to come down, and you might need to shift your focus a little.
I've been on record saying that you can't have DHs. You know I love baseball.
Yes,
you can't
totally have
DHs.
Yeah.
And a DH, what is a DH there to do? To hit.
So if
your DH is just hitting and is not hitting, right, if your DH is in a slump, that is the most replaceable position on the baseball field, because you cannot contribute to the team in any other way.
Totally.
I'm not completely there, because Kevin Huerter, I do think he can rebound. He tries,
he can,
right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't call him a full-blown DH.
Yeah. And he's not a bum either. Like,
no,
it's not even like he's a guy who's like,
right,
you
he's
know,
not a going yeah. over.
Yeah.
But I would say that he is someone that is in a hitter-friendly position. If you are in left field or in right field,
sure,
you're not really in there for your defensive prowess,
right?
We can find other dudes to play left field.
Right.
Now, Alex Gordon, Gold Glover, right, in left field. But we can find somebody else to play left field if you're not hitting. That is a hitting position. So Kevin Huerter is kind of like a left fielder, or even a right fielder, to where it's, we know you can help defensively, but you're not a shortstop. Right, you're not a center fielder.
Right,
you're not even a second baseman. You're really there to hit. And when I say hit in baseball, I mean to score the basketball and shoot threes.
Right.
If you're not doing that, I think there's somebody else that we can find that can play a good enough left field.
Yeah.
Might not be Alex Gordon, might not be a Gold Glover, but if they're hitting, I don't think it really matters.
Yeah.
I think that is the thing. I won't be disrespectful and call him a DH, but you are not in a premium position.
Right.
Defensively, and you can and may be replaced. If this, I'll tell you right now, Chris, we gotta get to a break. If he can't go Kayvon and the Atlanta homecoming, you gotta get him out of there. This is the one. It's all been leading up to this. This is your chance to have your revenge game. If he can't get it going in Atlanta, you got to get him out of there.
Yeah, or at least, I mean, it's a short road trip. They come back on the other side of the new year. Maybe you give him to the end of the trip, and then, you know, when you come back at home.
I'm not giving it to him.
Maybe that could be like the final, you know, the his final, what is it, his
hoorah,
rights or whatever. You know, he gets his... If it doesn't work out in Atlanta, maybe, you know, they just kind of give him a token start against the Grizzlies before ultimately, you know, signing off the official time of death. But it definitely needs to turn around quickly here.
And they're 4-0. Sure. The Grizzlies are 4-0 with Ja.
Yep, that's not
I'm
the
not
same
trying
team.
To see the Grizzlies right now.
No, thanks.
New Year's Eve?
No, thanks.
In Memphis?
Yeah.
Styles and Watkins got to get to a break. More Kings talk when we get back. Sacktown Sports.